We have a beautiful new banner in the church this morning up here on the wall to the right of the pulpit. And you see the hand of God with the dove in the center of the O. The theme for this year's giving campaign is God the Giver, whose greatest gift is Jesus Christ. And I want to thank Cheryl McDonald for donating the banner to St. Michael's for this year's campaign. I know she's in the hall getting us ready for breakfast, so thank you, Cheryl. God the Giver. Does anyone here read the New York Times? Anybody read the New York Times? I recently read an article titled, "To Teach Children to Give, Tell Them How Much Your Family Has Been Given." I really, really liked this article. And I was curious if others felt the same. And even though I always tell myself, don't read the online comments, I read them. And the funny thing was, all of the comments were positive, which got me thinking that maybe the author, Ron Lieber, was on to something greater. Something like a kind of universal awareness. Was he describing a concept that all of us, both young and old, could stand to learn more about? According to Lieber, if you want your children to understand how to manage their money, you start by giving them an allowance. And since they're going to need a place to keep their allowance, he suggests giving them three jars. One for spending, one for saving, and one for giving. Now, we pretty much all understand the spending jar. Most of us are pretty good at making up a wish list of stuff we absolutely have to have or stuff we want. And the saving jar is also pretty easy to understand. And this one also teaches children patience. Something most parents are always on the lookout for, and to be honest, most adults wish we had more of too. I know it's true for me while I'm stuck in traffic or waiting in line at the store or while I'm on hold with Comcast, I'm always praying for more patience. But what about the giving jar? For many children, this is the mysterious one that elicits all kinds of questions. To whom do they give? How much should they give? Why should they give? And how do we adults respond to their many questions? We say things like it's the right thing to do, or giving back, or our religious traditions require it. And Lieber believes most kids, and as someone who's been asked by the stewardship committee to speak on giving this morning, most adults are not satisfied or motivated to give by these kinds of answers. Just like children, you and I need more details on understanding this whole giving thing. Well, Lieber has a great idea on how to help children, and I think you and me too, understand a giving jar. He suggests that giving is one way we honor our family's history of being helped. He suggests we tell the stories about ourselves or our relatives that maybe the kids haven't heard before. Stories about how our parents or grandparents benefited from someone else's donations. And since our family were lucky enough to be helped, defined as broadly as possible, it seems only fair that children and people like you and me help others. Lieber tells the story when he was in middle school and his family came on hard times. When all of the children in his family were given scholarships to stay in the school they'd always attended. He writes, "It was so seamless that I wasn't even aware that it had happened until much later. The school simply made a determination that they were not going to make us leave for lack of funds." Lieber's wife also tells their children the story of her grandparents who were Holocaust survivors. They'd arrived in New York City where an entire network of refugee assistance organizations had already assembled to help them land on their feet. To relate this story to their children, Ron and his wife just celebrated his wife's grandmother's 89th birthday. and they'd named their second daughter in part after her late husband's sister, who had died in the concentration camps. So growing up with a family who talked about their stories of needing help enabled their children to understand the giving jar. When she is 9 years old, Lieber's daughter and other children her age will stand up in front of 1,000 people and ask the attendees at a breast cancer fundraiser to dig a little deeper in their pockets to support the cause. What about our own stories of needing help? Well, my grandma and grandpa lost everything in the Great Depression. So grandpa and his brother built a tiny ramshackle house to live in. And even though the walls were stuffed with newspapers to keep the chill out, the wind used to whistle through the gaps in the walls. There was no running water and just an outhouse out back. What little heat they did have came from a single pot-bellied stove in the living room, with which they heated water for cooking and cleaning clothes on a washboard. They had one pair of shoes for all the kids, and since they had to have shoes to go to school, they took turns walking to the single-room schoolhouse. So one day, a kindly truant officer, after observing that the kids were never all in school at the same time, stopped by their house to see what was up. Soon, he finds out about their shoe situation, and the next day he returns with a pair of shoes for every one of those kids, bought with his own money, and this was during the Depression. On his way out the door, he tells the kids he looks forward to seeing them all in school the next day. Then there was the flour and the cheese and the oleo. Does anybody remember oleo? Yeah? So oleo was lard that came with a little packet of yellow food coloring that you were supposed to mix in with the lard, and it was supposed to look like butter. And it was given to needy families like my grandparents. And for many, this would make the difference in their survival. So Mom has a memory of her mother giving to a stranger when she was maybe 7 or 8 years old. It seems Grandma had baked a single loaf of bread with that donated flour for a family of 7, and it was cooling on a windowsill. Now, don't you just love the smell of baking bread? I am sure that smell could draw a man miles in search of its source. So on this long-ago day, there's a knock on the door, and standing on the step is a hobo with a kerchief of his belongings hanging on the end of a stick, slung over his shoulder, just like in the movies. And it gives you a sense of how hungry this poor man must have been to approach a ramshackle house out in the middle of nowhere. Mom remembers the man asking the missus for some food. He was willing to trade what little coffee grounds he had and to fix whatever might need fixing if he could just have something to eat. I wonder if Grandma, in the moments when she considered his request, I wonder if she remembered that they had that freshly baked loaf of bread simply because they'd received donations of flour and cheese and oleo. So modeling Lieber's idea of the giving jar, Grandma grabbed that loaf of bread, sliced it nice and thick, put oleo on it, and invited that man to come on in and sit down at their kitchen table. She let him eat that whole loaf of bread. And not wanting to take it without offering something in return, he gave her his little tin can of coffee grounds, and he walked on down the road. During the Crimean War, Florence Nightingale was walking through the ward of a hospital. She paused and bent over a seriously wounded soldier, and as she looked at him, the soldier looked up to her and said, "You are Christ to me." Reminds me of something the Spanish mystic Teresa of Avila wrote in the 16th century. "Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. You are Christ to me, like those who donate to scholarship funds for needy children at schools around the country. You are Christ to me, like those generous, truant officers who notice who's missing and buy them some shoes so they can have an education. You are Christ to me, like a poor woman who gives a hobo her only loaf of bread. Now, every Sunday, we have our own version of the giving jar, and it's this little fish. And we invite all of our young ones and our young at heart to bring up an offering for our giving fish. And when this fish gets full, which Jimmy Sue warned me, oh, you're going to lift that? It's pretty heavy. And I'm like, excellent. It's full. The children decide which charitable organization to donate their money to. They make that decision probably a couple times a year. St. Michael's becomes Christ for so many in our community. For those who need shelter or food or clothing. Those who need a safe place to meet to stay clean or sober. Those who need someone to be there for them when no one else seems to care. You are Christ to me, like the outreach committee who build homes for the homeless in Detroit. You are Christ to me, like the battered women who are helped by donations from St. Michael's and from the thrift shop. You are Christ to me, like those for whom your clergy, Jimmy Sue and I, may pay someone's rent or utilities, help them fix their car, or buy their family's food. You are Christ to me, like the children and young adults from the ARC program who find a place at St. Michael's for their after-school programs and their summer programs. Lieber believes that telling our stories of receiving help make volunteering and donating more real time, more accessible to children as they make their own life choices and come to fill their own giving jar. Everyone's stories are different, writes Lieber. Perhaps yours is the story of a journey from slavery to freedom, or a hardscrabble immigrant tale that is different from what many refugees experience. Still, there was probably help on the way somewhere. If someone in your family has a grave illness or a continuing condition, chances are there is some person or entity that has inspired intense gratitude. Or perhaps your house of worship has helped you in some special and particular way. God is indeed the giver, whose greatest gift is Jesus Christ. And this morning, thanks to the donations of our stewardship committee and the vestry, breakfast is on us. So take a look at our ministry focus booklet and see the faces of Christ in its pages and in our community. We have been given so much. Let us fill our giving jar so that we may continue to be the hands and heart of Christ. And may all God's people say, Amen.